Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. Well, I was asked to say a few words about honoring our mothers, and it's a big subject. I didn't quite know what to talk about. I think on Mother's Day, we probably all think of our mothers. And so we reflect on our relationship with them. There were actually three women in my life that I observed very closely who were mothers. One was my mother, who is now with the Lord. One was my mother-in-law, who is now with the Lord. And one is my wife, who is here with us. And some of the characteristics, some of the things that I say about mothers today will be true of all three of them. But I didn't want to spend the service just talking about those three women. I did a little research just to see when Mother's Day was first celebrated, and apparently it was first celebrated in 1908 in West Virginia when a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis wanted to have a service held in memory of her mother. And that was probably the first time that an official service was held in honor of mothers. And then, as I understand it, there was a service in St. Thomas, Ontario, a year later, 1908, when it was first celebrated there. And it was originally just a time to say thank you to mothers for all they had done, or to honor those who had passed by. Actually, Anna Jarvis, who was the woman who first gave the initiative to get the service going to honor her mother, spent the last number of years of her life opposing Mother's Day, saying that it had become a commercial thing, and that was not the idea. So she protested against it. But today, as a church, we want to honor mothers not just because it's a tradition, but because we deeply appreciate you as mothers. We appreciate the role you play. In fact, I've often said that a church couldn't exist without mothers. Most ministries couldn't exist without mothers. So we're so thankful to all of you who are mothers. I'm reminded that Mother's Day may not be a particularly happy day for some. It may be that you've recently lost a mother. Or perhaps you've lost a child who would have been there to honor you. I also know that some of you had not had good relationships with your mother. And some here would have liked to have been mothers, but our wise and compassionate God did not permit this to happen. So it's my hope that we can just set aside the pain and the grief and the hurt, and together we can honor those who are mothers today. I would like to include in the talk on mothers those who, in addition to those who are biological mothers, I'd like to include those who have mothered or still do mother. Some who are not their biological children. Paul recognized that type of mothering when he was sending greeting to Rufus. He said to give greetings to his mother, that's Rufus' mother, and then he added, who was also my mother. He had been mothered by Rufus' mother. Actually, in the Old Testament, Deborah rose to mother Israel. Makes me think of many years ago in Newfoundland. I was in a village, and it seemed as though just about everybody was related. And everybody seemed to be a believer that we talked to. And so I asked about this, and they said, well, you need to talk to Grandma Reed. And she's up on a hill, lives in a little hut up there. She's the reason why so many of us are believers. So there are mothers who mother. Jesus recognized this too when he spoke to his mother and said, "Mother, woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. So So there are many of you who have been mothers to those who were not your biological children. Well, we honor our parents because the Bible tells us honor your father and mother. Ephesians, this was the second commandment. It was also repeated in Ephesians. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honoring parents in the Old Testament was very important. For example, to physically abuse or verbally abuse a parent was a capital offense in ancient Israel. Exodus 21 says, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Leviticus 29, for anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. But I'm sure we all agree that honoring our parents goes far beyond just not abusing them. Well, we honor both parents, but today has been set aside to honor mothers. So that's how I will address you this morning. You know, the mother-child relationship is unique. And it's often set apart in the Bible from that of the father-child relationship. Sometimes Scripture makes it appear that only the mother was present or only the mother was speaking, when we know from other Scriptures that the father was also there. But it appears for various reasons the Spirit of God focuses on the mother of the family at times. One reason might be that to show that even a single mother is able to be wise and loving parent by herself. Another reason may be that God wants to highlight the extreme importance of the role of mothers in the family. Some examples where we see this. Remember when Joseph and Mary took Jesus into the temple and Simeon was there, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. And then later on in Luke, when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, this was when they had missed him and found him sitting in among some elders of the temple, and they couldn't find him, and eventually they found him there. And they say to him, and the scripture records, his mother said to him. And then later, he goes home with them, is submissive to them, but we read that his mother treasured up all these things in his heart. And in the Old Testament, when Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac, his son, the servant meets up with Rebekah at the well, and they have some discussions. Rebekah goes home to tell that she's met the servant. And we read in verse 28 of Genesis 28, then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. And when Jacob was worried that Esau would attack him after they hadn't seen each other for so many years, he said, I fear him that he may come and attack me and the mothers with the children. Well, we could go on. There are many, many more examples. Proverbs 1:8, hear my son your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. So we see God focuses on the mother at times. I'd like to read the story of a mother from the scriptures. You'll notice in this story that the mother is not named. Sometimes mothers don't get much attention. This is the story of Moses. Moses' mother. Exodus chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Well, this was a difficult time in Israel's history. It was a difficult time to be raising children. The Israelites had been growing stronger in numbers and in strength, and Pharaoh had issued a decree that any male child under 2 years old was to be drowned. Now this Hebrew woman finds that she's pregnant. There was no ultrasound to determine whether it was a male or female. But can you imagine the stress as she goes through this pregnancy, wondering what's going to happen? Will it be a male? Will it be a female? And if it's a male, what will she do? You know, abortion was known in those days. In fact, the first abortion ever recorded in history was recorded during the life of Moses. She could have decided to abort him. She might have said, "I already have two children. Why take the risk?" But this woman was a woman of faith. She conceived, and 9 months later, she went through labor and had a child. And we read, she saw that he was a fine child. Hebrews 11 tells us that she, along with her husband, saw that their little son was beautiful. What parents wouldn't look at that little child and think, "My child is beautiful"? But the word "beautiful" in the original language suggests that she saw that he was something special. The word means special. But as she looks at that little child, all the worry and stress of having been pregnant at such a difficult time, and all the uncertainty of the future, could not now keep her from just loving that child. She saw that he was beautiful. She was a woman of genuine and practical faith. She did not fear Pharaoh's edict, the Bible tells us in Hebrews. So by faith, she hides him. Can you imagine the amount of courage that it must have taken to take? I know we were going to hide this little fellow from anybody around. All of you who have parents know that it's not easy to hide a young child. I don't know how she went about it, but I'm sure there was a certain sacrifice and cost to her, perhaps lying awake at night in case he cried. But there was a sacrifice to it. But she was a courageous, she had courageous faith. She thought, "I can accomplish this. I can do this." What was she doing? She was protecting him from an evil that was threatening him. And you know, as parents, as mothers, I'm sure the burden of your heart is to threaten them from any evil out there. And there's lots of it out there today. But she had a sensible faith. She realized that she couldn't hide him forever. She came to the end of her ability to keep him from being known. And so she decides she must trust him entirely to God. She's going to take this little child now that she's been hiding from the threats and evils, and she's going to expose him to some of that evil. Every mother comes to that point where she has to do this. But her faith is strong, and she decides that she'll put him out, not just put him in any basket, but she makes a special basket. for them. The word basket is the same word as ark, the ark that Noah built. She wanted to protect them. Perhaps speaks to us of salvation. She wanted to be sure he was saved. So she decides that she has some work to do now. She has to find a suitable basket. Perhaps take some reeds and wind them together and put them together so that they would make a basket. She has to daub it with bitumen and pitch. And then can you imagine this, taking that little child and putting him in that basket? And she placed him among the reeds. She just doesn't say, well, I'll just say goodbye. That's the end. Obviously, he's not going to survive, so I might as well say goodbye. But she puts him in the reeds, a place where he could be easily found. She had a sensible faith. You know, she put him out on the Nile. The Nile is known for its crocodiles. Even today, hundreds of people still die as a result of those crocodiles. But her faith allowed her to do this. Some of her wisdom and love must have been rubbed off on her daughter, because her daughter then goes down and watches to see what's going to happen. Well, we know the story. Pharaoh finds the baby. Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby and has pity on it. And so Moses is put back now into her care. So once again, she has Moses in her care. What do you think she did with him? I think she probably spent a lot of time teaching him. She would teach him about his identity as an Israelite, about the reproach of being an Israelite, about the choices to be made in life, and about the reward of faithfulness to his invisible God, and about not being afraid of the enemy. We learn later in Hebrews that by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How did he know that he was not an Egyptian? Because he'd been taught by his mother that he had a Jewish identity. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he kept Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Moses learned a lot from his mother. Well, I was thinking about this story, and I thought, what are some things that we can learn from this story which would be true? Reasons why we should honor our mothers. First of all, being very practical, they carried us for 9 months in their womb. The scriptures constantly remind us of the importance of the womb, life in the womb. Our mothers, at no small sacrifice to themselves, protected us, nourished us at this very vulnerable period of our lives. The scriptures recognize this sacrifice. The importance of the womb is brought up over and over again in the Bible. We were knitted together in our mother's womb. As Job says, did not one fashion us in the womb? According to Psalm 127, we are the fruit of the womb. And God said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I formed you in the womb. So we honor our mothers for their sacrifice, for not selfishly aborting us, as almost 1 million American mothers did last year, or 100,000 Canadians did. We honor our mothers for giving birth to us, again, at the great cost to themselves, which the scripture describe as the pangs of childbirth, the pains of childbirth, the anguish of childbirth, labor pains. Now I know that many mothers will say that those are all forgotten when they first look into the face of their children. But nevertheless, they are true. Thinking of my own mother, thinking of my mother-in-law, and of my wife, we honor our mothers for bringing up children, for bringing up us. 1 Timothy 5 gives us a picture of a godly woman who raised or brought up children. It says, we read, let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work. Well, part of bringing us up was the example our mothers left to us. Notice some of the things about this mother. Faithfulness to her husband, reputation for good works, showing hospitality, humbling herself to wash the feet of saints, caring for the afflicted, devoting herself to every good work. This woman did all these things while raising children who observed their mother every day. We honor our mothers for their teaching, sometimes by example, and sometimes by actual words. Proverbs 31 speaks of a mother who taught her son an oracle or shared a burden with her son. Well, not all mothers may spend a lot of time teaching. In fact, as I thought about my mother, I don't recall her ever sitting down and teaching me a lesson. But I do recall every evening she would sit beside the bed and read us a story. A story called, taken from a little paper called The Message of Love of God. So some of you know the paper. And then she would pray with us. But as I say, I don't remember her ever sitting down and saying, well, I'm going to teach you something today. Proverbs 31 mentions a mother who opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And we're told in Proverbs not to forsake the teaching of our mother. So sometimes the teaching will be example, sometimes it'll be in words. We honor our mothers for care, for their care, their unconditional love and unending love. 1 Thessalonians 2 says, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Proverbs 4:3 says, for I too was a son to my mother, still tender and cherished by my mother. The interesting thing about a mother's love and care is that it never ends. Have you noticed that? Hope Joyce doesn't mind, but I was just overheard her say, our daughter is in Saudi Arabia snorkeling last weekend. And I heard Joyce say to somebody, I sure hope she put on suntan. The care never ends. We saw that in Scripture when John and James' mother went to Jesus and wanted to be sure that they had a place on the right and left-hand side. Well, it was a misguided concern, but it sure showed concern for those grown sons. Also, the mother of Sisera. Sisera was an enemy of Israel, and he'd been killed by Jael, but his mother didn't know about it. And we find her saying, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots? Well, we honor mothers for their hard work. Motherhood is tough work, and I'd say largely goes unnoticed. No promotions in motherhood. Children perhaps often too young or unable for some reason to appreciate the work that goes on. Much of the work is menial, routine, and sometimes boring. but mothers just plug on. I was recently had the opportunity to visit our old farmhouse up on the Pontiac. And I was, this came to mind as I went through. There was a little 3x3 area in the floor that had been replaced. And I remember so well that that was one time a heating register. In fact, that was the only place heat came from the furnace into our house. And my mother would sit on that. I'd come in from the barn or after doing chores or so on, and there she would be late at night knitting or sewing. Hard work. And I think every mother here has gone through that type of hard work. Well, we know that Moses' mother worked hard to prepare an ark for him. And she did that while caring for her husband and two other children. But it took work. We observed a picture of a godly woman in 1 Timothy, where a mother had a reputation for many good deeds, which she accomplished while raising children. And we could have read about the busy life of the mother in Proverbs 31. There's a lot there about her activities, but she did it as a mother. Yes, mothering is tough, busy work for which mothers deserve great honor. So I'd say to all you mothers, we do know that you work hard. Finally, we honor you mothers for your faith and for passing it to us, for your courageous faith, your act of faith, your sensible faith. Paul said to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwells first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. That faith had been passed along from Lois to Eunice to Timothy. So on behalf of RCF, I just want to say thank you, mothers, for all you do. Let's pray. Father, many of us here have much to be thankful for. We've had mothers who were godly women, who set us a good example, who worked so hard for our good, who sacrificed so much. And I know that this morning there are mothers in this room who are working hard, sacrificing, giving up so much in order to mother their children. And I know they do it out of love. Lord, strengthen and bless them and give them a sense of reward. And may their faith be passed on to their children. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.